Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben in Greenville, South Carolina this morning and all over the world via the World Wide Web. You can log on to our webcast and encourage others to do so, your friends and families elsewhere at policyofliberty.net. Just click on the link that says live and you'll be able to join us on the show anywhere in the world, just listening through your computer at home or at the office. The phone number this morning, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, and we'll be able to discuss your questions and comments on the air today. Thanks again for joining us. Before we forget it, I want to read the Bill of Rights 10th Amendment. We've read, for the last nine consecutive shows, we've read one of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, so important for Christians and those who love liberty to know something about the Bill of Rights. Because obviously if we don't know our rights, it's very easy for government to take them away from us. And as we read in a previous show, in the public school there is a drive, or at least a thought there, that we should remove some of these Bill of Rights. Some of the students, the majority of students polled recently in a public school, high school students, thought that we have too many rights and that the First Amendment specifically was targeted as giving us too much liberty and too much freedom. We need to give some of that up towards the government's direction, and we're very concerned about that here at the Tyranny Response Network. We love the Bill of Rights, and we believe we should have these rights and protect them and hold them dearly. The 10th Amendment says, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people." Let me read that again. "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people." So what that means is, basically, if it doesn't say it in the Constitution, the federal government simply can't do it. It's reserved to either the states or to the people. And we see government overstepping its bounds all the time, doing things that has nothing to do with what the constitutional mandate says. Nevertheless, this is the sad situation, the sad state of affairs to which we've sunk in this country, where the Bill of Rights essentially has no more meaning. I also want to read this morning just a couple quick quotes from P.J. O'Rourke, and then I've got a whole bunch of quotes I want to get. People have been sending me quotations. I love reading quotations from important, interesting people in the past. We're gonna take some time here shortly to read through some of the quotations that are posted at policyofliberty.net. Yes, there are hundreds of quotations in favor of liberty, free markets, peace, other things on the website, policyofliberty.net. If you just go and click the tab that says quotations, you'll be able to see a menu that gives you a whole bunch of them. P.J. O'Rourke reminds us this morning that one of the annoying things about believing in free will and individual responsibility is the difficulty of finding someone to blame your problems on. And when you do find somebody, it's remarkable how often this picture turns up on your driver's license. Very true. He also says the free market is ugly and stupid, like going to the mall. The unfree market is just as ugly and just as stupid, except there is nothing in the mall, and if you don't go there, they shoot you. Read these quotes recently, but so good on the show. It's just so good, I felt like this is just something that needs to be read again. And finally, he says, the founding fathers, in their wisdom, devised a method by which our republic can take 100% of its most prominent numbskulls and keep them out of the private sector, where they might do actual harm. The college idealists who fill the ranks of the environmental movement seem willing to do absolutely anything to save the biosphere, except take science courses and learn something about it. Yes, they don't know anything about science, these environmental nutcases. Well, I don't mean to put you down if you're an environmentalist at all. God tells us to take care of the environment. It's simply the environmentalism we oppose is the pseudoscience based on a non-Christian worldview that is so egregiously mistaken in its conclusions. And it's a big scare tactic for fearmongers and people who want to make money by writing books and making lectures, making people afraid. That's all it is, folks. We have an email that came in from Annette that I neglected to read yesterday, and I had promised her that I would, and I apologize, Annette. She says, on January 13th, a federal judge in Georgia ordered that stickers that had been placed in textbooks stating, evolution is a theory, not a fact, be removed. In fact, he said such criticisms of evolution are an endorsement of religion and a violation of separation of church and state. This ruling is outrageous and suggests that evolution is to be taught as fact and therefore the only option to our children. I staunchly oppose this edict and I'm urging you to do the same by signing our Kids Deserve the Truth petition by clicking below. And the way you get to see this petition is to go to www.cf, as in Frank, that's Charlie Frank, R-A, C-F-R-A, Charlie Frank Robin Allen, .info. And then I think you can also add a /163, and you'll get a menu that shows the petition. But either way, either you go to cfra.info or cfra.info/163, and you'll be able to pull up that petition if you're interested in signing that. It doesn't take much time. Might as well do it. Through this effort, we want to call national attention to this debate by rallying at least 100,000 citizens who oppose this outrageous ruling and who insist that evolution be taught as a theory, not as a fact. Our kids deserve the truth about evolution. Thanks for taking immediate action with me, Mrs. Annette. And we thank you, Annette, for sending that information off to us. Yes, we're interested in children understanding the Christian worldview. We do not want them being preached to at the pagan seminary, as Bruce Short calls the public school. A good name for the government school, the pagan seminary. At any rate, Bruce Short wrote this book called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, which I have a copy of right here on my desk with me. Been reading it. Excellent book. I would encourage you all to pick up a copy of Bruce Short's book. I believe it's $22 on Amazon. Well worth the read. You'll understand more and more about what really goes on in these public schools and why it's going to start affecting you more and more. We like to pick up things here and there that talk about the latest events in public schools that contribute to children's socialization. And recently we've had so many stories of female teachers raping or molesting their teenage male students. And so we've had an opportunity to talk about the great socialization activities that occur inside the government school building. If you have any other comments or questions about that, we would more than welcome them here at the show. As far as Annette, just one comment about what you have to say. We want the children to learn about creationism. And if they learn about evolutionism as a theory, or evolution and Darwinianism as a theory, that's fine. We don't have a problem with that either, although in moderation, not to override everything that one believes or thinks philosophically. But the real question is, why do we even want to worry too much about what goes on to these in government schools? Because we don't expect the pagan seminary to accept Christian values. It's just not going to happen. So my concern is not so much to change the public school, which I think is impossible to do. It's an institution that's inherently evil and won't be changed. But what we can see instead is that Christians need to get out of the public school. Their kids out, their employment out. They need to go away from this very evil institution. So appreciate you bringing up the email, Annette. Thanks for writing. We're coming up against a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and on the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN, and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, We can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. We're happy you've joined us this morning here on the Tyranny Response Network. Lots of little things happening in the news. We, of course, have been following this case where now the judge has issued a stay in the right to die case of Terry Schiavo down in on Dunedin, Florida. And we're following that as an interesting piece of public policy these days. Some people just want the inconvenient to die and go away. And we know that it's many, many of them, in fact, in America, as they slaughter off unborn children regularly, are willing to shove old people in a corner and hope that they'll die. Well, this is a sad commentary on the philosophy of America. But let's remember, folks, as sad as it is to watch this woman be starved to death, if that indeed will happen after this stay is lifted, just think how sad it is that every day 4,000, not just one person, 4,000 innocent children who have never seen the light of day are sliced up in their mother's womb or burned to death by a saline solution. Folks, that or punctured and having their brains evacuated out of their skull while they're being born. This is the reality of America, folks. This is what people think about human life, and it should come as no surprise to us the events that are going on in Florida. I believe I also have an email here, I think one of my research staff sent me some kind of interesting article on stem cells as well. Yes, says here, the suit filed to stop the Stem Cell Institute in San Francisco, a politically conservative public interest group, filed a lawsuit Tuesday seeking to invalidate the $3 billion stem cell research funding institution California voters approved in November. California following Britain, by the way, and trying to get on the bandwagon for all this sort of research. Britain, of course, has this Ministry of Fertility and Embryology, and they're trying to allow this person or give him the license to go ahead and start cloning human beings, since he's already cloned sheep. Forgot the fellow's name. It's a good thing probably to forget his name, at least for the time being. But we'll need to remember in the future, because I'm sure he will appear on the radar screen. That is the radar screen of evil. It's got a red background, a little blip, 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 and whenever you see it happening, you know that the evil one is up to something. And I think this indeed is the case with folks who are trying to manipulate life. Every time, well, we realize at the Tyranny Response Network that playing around with human lives as if we're just another species, and I don't mean to be speciesist, to don't want to offend the good Princeton professor. Well, maybe I do, but at any rate, this is a true problem for us, because human life is sacred. It's not the same as other life, and in the Christian worldview, we hold that perspective quite dearly. At any rate, this says in the San Francisco lawsuit alleges that the provisions in Proposition 71 exempting members from the California Institute from Regenerative Medicine that form some government conflict of interest laws are illegal. I'm skipping through the article here. The plaintiffs, Dr. Fortenes and Johnny Erickson Tata, a paraplegic who founded Johnny and Friends Ministries in Agoura Hills, that's who this particular doctor is related to. Said that people need to get the message that this proposition is an enormous expenditure of money in a financially strapped state for human embryo research that is increasingly seen as problematic and hypothetical, Tata said in a statement. Good for you, Johnny. Keep up the work. The Institute will soon begin to dole out the $3 billion in borrowed money over the next 10 years. Institute officials said they hope to award the first grants in May. The proposition's language exempts the members from some of California's conflict laws, it says. The plaintiffs are also contending that the conflict exemptions will allow committee scientists to receive Institute grants. Interesting stuff. Poor Californians, my native state, and you're suffering still under the wrath of these idiotic legislators, as well as good old anti-50 caliber pro-abortion Arnold Schwarzenegger, and now you're going to go into debt. You have a troubled financial situation, and you're going to go into debt for $3 billion in order to fund some fanciful project. How exciting. Amazing. In other issues relating to life today, we have evil to be measured in death penalty cases. This is an interesting story. Psychiatrists developed a depravity rating to decide which convicted killers die. This is from WorldNet Daily, last weekend. Research psychiatrists say they can now quantify evil, and they will be lobbying state legislatures to adopt their depravity ratings for use by courts determining whether to impose death penalty on convicted murderers. Long seen as a subjective moral term, evil, two recent studies of criminal personalities claim can now be measured objectively. People say evil is like pornography. They know it when they see it, but can debate whether or not it is harmful. Or can they, I guess it's supposed to be, but can they debate whether or not it is harmful? Dr. Michael Wellner, a forensic psychiatrist and professor at New York University, told the London Telegraph, "This is not true. We are finding widespread agreement about what is evil." They do not do it on the mere basis of emotions, they say. His depravity scale is based on contributions of thousands of people who contributed to their understanding of evil to a website. I hope they didn't ask anybody who commits abortion whether or not they think it's evil. What is a definition of evil? Because I'm not sure there is any such thing as a consensus that you can arrive at. Anyway, he says, a second study conducted by Michael Stone, Dr. Michael Stone, professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, developed 22 gradations of evil based on the lives of 500 killers held in a New York psychiatric center. Stone's depravity scale ranges from the least evil, those who kill in self-defense, to the most evil, psychopathic torture murderers, with torture as their primary motive. Factors such as history of having been abused, being a jealous lover, or showing remorse are factored into the scoring. Well, while that's interesting on its face, and I suppose it is worse to torture the unborn child or anyone else you're murdering before you kill them, and all that does seem like the free market is now rising up to try to help government systems create the proper way to determine penalties, and although I'm in favor of that, I am concerned that we have individuals who have no moral character, largely in our society, deciding on what is evil and what is not. Those of us who hold a Christian worldview realize that when these people inflict so much evil, even things like taxation, which amounts to extortion, simple evil like that where they're just robbing us, to outright murder or sending people off to Iraq or attacking other people and controlling other societies, you have to wonder if any of these people have any good discernment or judgment to make these sorts of decisions. I wish they'd just go back and use the Bible or some antiquated book that actually might even reflect what God thinks, because he probably has a better idea of what evil is than what all these great men of the world can come up with. Interesting, though, that we have this evil to be measured in the death penalty cases coming up by these depravity ratings. We come up against a quick break on the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben. Apparently, we are having technical difficulties. For those of you who happen to be listening on the internet, you may be the only ones who are hearing us at the time for the at this particular moment. We just got a call from some of our production staff that indeed we had fallen off the air on our Greenville signal. They're working on that right now, and they'll be coming back as soon as possible to get people back on, to get TRN back on the air on the FM dial. In the meantime, we'd like to go ahead and just read some very interesting quotations. And I'll tell you what, if you go to policyofliberty.net, you'll find just a wealth of information there, including various articles and papers that I write. My current weekly column in particular is on there. This week's column that's going to be coming up is going to be on the Put Parents in Charge Act proposed by Governor Mark Sanford, which I'm opposed to, because it's a socialist idea that wants to, I think, get a backdoor means to regulating us for a very small payoff of a little bit less extortion for those who make less than $75,000 a year. That article's on there. Also, the three other recent articles on the lottery, the morality of the lottery, and why I argue that the lottery is the best tax. Crazy as it may seem, folks, it's a voluntary tax that people rush to pay. And I'd much rather have voluntary taxes paid rather than taxes paid through extortive, compulsory, coercive means. At any rate, Policy of Liberty has all sorts of different links on there that are worth looking at, and one of them is the quotation section. Now, I spent a lot of time yesterday helping to update the first particular page called Philosophy and Miscellaneous Quotations. And if you go to that link, Philosophy and Miscellaneous Quotations, you'll find there just several dozen of these quotations, which I think are just great to read once in a while. And I'm going to take some time even on the show here to read some of them so you can get an idea of what's there. Now, what prompted me to do this is I've had two people email me with various quotations, that and many of which have been added now to this webpage. So you can actually go here and read some of the things that other listeners have said. For instance, the very first one from Pericles, 430 BC, says, "Just because you don't take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you." Aristotle said, "The law of non-contradiction, the same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect." Voltaire from France said in 1764, "In general, the art of government consists in taking as much money as possible from one party of the citizens to give to the other." Marquis de Sade, another Frenchman apparently, although I don't know that, just assuming that's the case, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain." Frederick Bastiat, or Bastiat, also a French and a political Frenchman and a political philosopher, 1801 to 1850, says, "Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else." He also says, "Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place." Great point. That's why our American government started the way that it did, because we wanted to protect life, liberty, and property. We have I have several from Simon Bolivar, but I'm going to skip Simon Bolivar and move on down to a couple others, like Edmund Burke, the father of modern conservatism back in the 1600s. the people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion, like the Patriot Act, like the fear of terror, I should say, or the war, the phony drug problem, these kinds of things, that people need to give up their liberties in order to resolve a problem that government wants to point out to you. Lord Acton says, power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Winston Churchill says, I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket trying to lift himself up by the handle. Great, great quote. He also says, the inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessing of socialism is the equal sharing of misery. You gotta love it. That's a great, great quotation from Winston Churchill. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 to 1903, said, the ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. So you shield men from the effects of their foolishness by some government policy, for instance, and then you just end up filling the world with fools. Sounds like America, unfortunately. It's a sad case, but it is true. Now, getting to some of our founding fathers or the early colonists, for instance, like William Penn, started Pennsylvania. Right is right, says he, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. Good point. Edward Abbey said, a patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. More Americans. Look at George Washington. At least this is attributed to him. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Patrick Henry said, I am not well versed in history, but I will submit to your recollection whether liberty has been destroyed most often by the licentiousness of the people or by the tyranny of rulers. Imagine, sir, you will find the balance on the side of tyranny. Happy you will be if you miss the fate of those nations who, omitting to resist their oppressors or negligently suffering their liberty to be wrested from them, have groaned under intolerable despotism. Most of the human race are now in this deplorable condition, indeed. And then Benjamin Franklin says, much of the strength and efficiency of any government in procuring and securing happiness to the people depends on the general opinion of the goodness of that government. And Thomas Jefferson, several quotations from him, a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take away everything you have. Thomas Jefferson also said, the spirit of resistance to government is so valuable on certain occasions that I wish it to be always kept alive. Isn't that interesting that Jefferson wanted a spirit of resistance to government? He saw that was valuable in political society. Is that right from a Christian worldview? Is Jefferson mistaken? What's interesting, it's an interesting question, because it seems like some people would say, well, this runs into conflict with Romans 13 or 1 Peter chapter 2, we should not be resisting evil. Well, there's some reason to believe that's not the appropriate response for Christians, and we've talked about that on this show. I don't think that, or I do think actually that Christians have a right to resist evil whenever they can legally do so, and even at times when it's illegal to do so as a matter of self-defense. And if we hold that position, we can see that we agree with the founding fathers, like Jefferson. Jefferson also said, sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question. A wise and frugal government, says Jefferson, which shall restrain men from inquiring one or injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take them from them the mouth of labor, the bread it has earned, this is the sum of good government. He says also, I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending to too much liberty than those attending to too small a degree of it. And then James Madison, the essence of government is power, and power lodged as it must be in human hands will ever be liable to abuse. Needs to send that to George W., as well as all the past 10 presidents or so. And he also says that James Madison also says the propensity of all single and numerous assemblies is to yield to the impulse of sudden and violent passions and to be seduced by factious leaders into intemperate and pernicious resolutions. Boy, I bet he does well on the SAT exam with all those big words. Love to read these quotations. Hope you do, too. It's nice to know what the founding fathers thought about things, because they were a remarkable group of men, and certainly in terms of political philosophy were the guiding principle behind our government structure here in America. We've come up against a break on the Tyranny Response Network. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you've joined us. If you're, we apparently are still having problems with our FM radio signal this morning, so it may be that the only way to hear the Tyranny Response Network at the moment is on the webpage through the webcast, the World Wide Web. In fact, I'm going to have my production staff check and see just how many people are listening on the World Wide Web right now. We'd like to see if our numbers are spiking as people are having to move off of the FM dial onto the Internet if possible. At any rate, we're glad that you've joined us, and we hope to get that problem resolved right away, as soon as we possibly can. Doesn't seem like we have a spike yet on the World Wide Web users. Of course, a lot of people are driving. It's difficult if the signal goes down on the FM dial to simply switch to the Internet. If you're in your car, obviously, I don't know if they have mobile computers that can listen to Internet shows that you can use in your car yet. At least if there is, I just don't know about it. There may be something out there like that, but obviously not common if it is. We've been reading some very interesting quotations, and the reason we're reading quotations is because they've been sent to us here at the Tyranny Response Network, here at Christian Worldview in particular. So we'd like to have an opportunity to continue to read some of these things on the air to you. You can go to policyofliberty.net, and you will find at policyofliberty.net a wealth of quotations. If you simply click the little link that says quotes, quotes will bring you to the a page that has dozens and then even hundreds of quotations for your reading pleasure, eye candy, to be sure. Under the section that says philosophy and miscellaneous, or political philosophy and miscellaneous, you'll find a number of these quotes which I've received from people who have written emails in, and I've put them here on the page. And we've just been reading a number of the founding fathers, some folks in Europe, and we're going on now to read a bit from James Madison. He says, the abuse or the essence of government is power, and power lodged as it must be in human hands will ever be liable to abuse. We also want to read George Mason, who had nothing to do with the Masons, by the way, but the university I graduated from takes his name, George Mason University, part of the University of Virginia system, actually a state system, but the most free market economics school, graduate school in America is at George Mason University in Virginia. The chairman was, it's for some time, not sure who the chairman is now, but for some time was Walter Williams, who was not only my fellow columnist in the Times Examiner and elsewhere, but was a certainly my mentor in my own particular thinking, my views of life and public policy. Just a tremendous man. Appreciated his input. At any rate, George Mason said, all are by nature equally free and independent, and have certain inherent natural rights, of which when they enter into a state of society, they cannot by any compact divide or divest their posterity. That is such an important quotation. Think about it, folks. All are by nature equally free and independent, and have certain inherent natural rights, of which when they enter into a state of society, they cannot by any compact divide or divest their posterity. The government, the creation of the state, cannot take away our inherent natural rights if we believe this. Many people do not believe it. Even libertarian professors they do not believe there is anything such as a natural right. They deny this doctrine of Jefferson and of the founders, sadly. And that leaves it wide open to, well, who decides who gets rights? Well, it could just be a social compact or the government. And the government decides if you've got rights. They can also decide that you don't have rights, depending on which legislature's in power or which tyrant. George Mason also says, as nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. Interesting. George Mason also says, I ask, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole people except for a few public officials. Yes, because we have to have some targets. The whole purpose of having militia is to have defense against the state, and we need a target. And the way we have to have a target is by these people to not have guns. So anybody who runs for political office by virtue of that, I agree, or I conclude from George Mason's statement, that we should disarm them. They're not allowed to have guns, carry them concealed, or in any way, shape, or form be protected, because they don't deserve to be if they're in public office and political power has been vested in them. Remember, the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia, there's that word, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's not for hunting, folks, although you can use your gun to hunt. It's to protect yourself against tyrannical states, to overthrow them when they try to deny you your liberty, your natural rights. It's all backwards nowadays. When I lived and was attending George Mason University and lived there in Northern Virginia near Washington and Fairfax, or in that area, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go get my concealed weapons permit like I used to have in Oregon so I can port around my arm. My pistol, without having any hassles from the state. Still don't think that's necessarily a good idea. Go ahead and carry it at any rate. You're a citizen of the United States, and who cares what the government tells you? You've got the Bill of Rights tells you can keep and bear arms. But at that time in my life, which was maybe 12 years ago, I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and apply for this permit. So I went down to the courthouse and told them I wanted to get a concealed weapons permit, and they told me, here's the form. A lot of people ask for it. Good luck in getting it, pal. The only two permits that have been issued in this county, in Fairfax County, have been for Oliver North and the judge. So you see, those are the only two people that were allowed to carry a concealed weapon in Fairfax County. Other counties of Virginia are not too bad, as I understand, but if you live in Fairfax, it's so full of liberals and those who hate guns that they only give the guns to people in the government or high-profile figures, perhaps, like Oliver North. And it's a sad state of affairs, if you think about it, folks, because according to George Mason, the exact opposite should be the case. That judge doesn't need to have a gun, and if he, in fact, having a gun allows him to be a little bit out of line. If he knows he has no defense, he's going to be more likely to uphold the Constitution and our rights. Come up against a quick break here on the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back here reading these great quotations from folks. Thomas Paine said, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings in the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence and subtlety obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations, overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions." Interesting word. And as a matter of fact, that aligns with one of my very favorite quotations from Albert J. Nock, who actually citing a man I don't care for too much in his political writings or any other writings generally, Dr. Sigmund Freud. And Albert J. Nock wrote this book, Our Enemy the State, says something very similar in this quotation. I'll read it to you again. "So far from encouraging a wholesome development of social power, it has invariably, as Madison said, turned every contingency into a resource for depleting social power, enhancing state power. As Dr. Sigmund Freud has observed, it cannot even be said that the state has ever shown any disposition to suppress crime, but only to safeguard its own monopoly of crime. In Russia and Germany, for example, we have lately seen the state moving with great alacrity against infringement of its private monopoly by private persons, while at the same time exercising that monopoly with unconscionable ruthlessness. Taking the state wherever found, striking into its history at any point, one sees no way to differentiate the activities of its founders, administrators, and beneficiaries from those of a professional criminal class." Very prudent, and it's been very true throughout the history of the world. Colonel David Crockett, as a congressman, 1827 to 1835, said, "We have rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right to so appropriate a dollar of public money." "The war between the states was an unnecessary condition of affairs," says Robert E. Lee, "and might have been avoided if forbearance and wisdom had been practiced on both sides." Frederick Douglass says, "The life of the nation is secure only when the nation is honest, truthful, and virtuous." Samuel Gomper said, "The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit." Yes, very true. You got to have a profit if you're going to have people employed and creating wealth. Mark Twain, witty guy that he was, said, "There is no distinctly Native American criminal class, save Congress." He also said, the only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain also said, no man's life, liberty, or property is safe when the legislature is in session. And he also says, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress. But I repeat myself. And finally, he says, look at you in war. There has never been a just one, never an honorable one, on the part of instigator of the war. Teddy Roosevelt, a man who I don't admire very much either, once in a while has some interesting quotations to read, says, that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. And then Congressman James T. Heflin from Alabama, in the Congressional Record, 1909, had this longer quotation. It's just a tremendous quotation. Love it. Was really appreciative. I think I found this in Phil Hart's book, and then went ahead and posted it here on the website. Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his efforts to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits its crime against humanity. So it is with federal taxation. They were debating the 16th Amendment when he said that. H.L. Mencken, one of my favorite political philosophers, libertarian political philosophers of the past, says, under democracy, one party always devotes its chief energies to trying to prove that the other party is unfit to rule, and both commonly succeed and are right. He's 1880 to 1856, which is when he lived. He also said, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged in wholesale and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency. Albert Einstein said, unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth. Hear that? Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth. Well, we're here on Tyranny Response Network, especially Christian Worldview, trying to help you think better. And not having an unthinking respect for authority, because we realize that it is an enemy of the truth. We're going to have a few more of these quotations to read when we get back from our quick break on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Will Rogers said, I don't make jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts. He also said, Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for. George Bernard Shaw said, a government which robs Peter to pay Paul can always depend on the support of Paul. And Ayn Rand said, civilization is the progress towards a society of privacy. The savage whole existence is public. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting man free from men. She also says, reason is man's only means of grasping reality and acquiring knowledge, and therefore the rejection of reason means that men should act regardless of and or in contradiction to the facts of reality. And a few quotations from Ronald Reagan. He says, the government is like a baby's alimentary canal, with a happy appetite at the one end and no responsibility at the other. Cute. Government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. If it stops moving, subsidize it. History teaches, he says, that war begins when governments believe the price of aggression is cheap. And then moving on to one of my favorite columnists and academics, we have Thomas Sowell, who says, what is history but the story of how politicians have squandered the blood and treasure of the human race? Ooh, what a pointed and great comment by Thomas Sowell, the mentor of Walter Williams, by the way, my intellectual grandfather, therefore. Thomas Sowell said, once again, what is history but the story of how politicians have squandered the blood and treasure of the human race? He also says, the first lesson of economics is scarcity. There is never enough of anything to fully satisfy all those who want it. The first lesson of politics is to disregard the first lesson of economics. G. Gordon Liddy said, a liberal is someone who feels a great debt to his fellow man, which debt he proposes to pay off with your money. And then P.J. O'Rourke, one of our favorite libertarian humorists, says, giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. Well, not homeschooled teenage boys, hopefully, and not those who hold a Christian worldview, but in general, he's right. I mean, most kids are not like our kids who have the Christian worldview or our perspective of life, and therefore it could well be that there is trouble on the horizon when you give the typical public school kid whiskey and car keys. If you think healthcare is expensive now, he says, wait until you see what it costs when it's free. Money is preferable to politics, P.J. O'Rourke says. It's the difference between being free to be anybody you want to be and to vote for anybody you want. And money is more effective than politics, both in solving problems and providing individual independence. To rid ourselves of all the trouble in the world, we need to make money. And to make money, we need to be free. So true, P.J. O'Rourke. Appreciate that. And James Bovard, a libertarian author, writes in 1994, democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. Ooh, I wonder who's going to be eating on that score. And then we have a few more quotations on here, but we'll go ahead and skip those ones. There was just one from Daniel Golden in the Wall Street Journal, I guess I'll read, February 2000. Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Well, we appreciate you listening this morning to Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network. We've been having all sorts of technical difficulties this morning with our FM broadcast, apparently. Not sure even at this moment if we're on the air. I think I've got a thumbs up from our production staff. We may indeed be back on the air on the FM dial. Sorry that we were away for a while, folks. We're not sure why our system failed this morning in our transmission, and we went only to the webcast. But we'll be able to, our very knowledgeable volunteer production staff will shortly be on top of this problem and be correcting the issue so it will not occur ever again, or at least not frequently. So appreciate you all listening to Christian Worldview. Just had an interesting time, if you've just joined us back on the FM band, talking about the quotation section of Policy of Liberty. I get lots of quotations emailed to me, and frequently I will put them up on the quotation section. So now we have hundreds of quotations, and we've just been reading great quotations from the Founding Fathers, from the great minds of Europe in past centuries, as well as some more current quotations from people like Thomas Sowell, P.J. O'Rourke. just tremendous quotations in favor of liberty and showing what the state really is. And we've had an opportunity to do that. We'd encourage you to go ahead and click on the link that says quotes on the policyofliberty.net webpage and find out more, or just go take some more eye candy for yourself there and read some of these great quotations. Sure are fun. Well, we're going to go back to a couple of news items here. I want to remind you to call the show or email us with any questions or comments you have. Be happy to get that information from you or those comments and questions from you, and we can discuss them here on the air. Even if you have a comment about one of the Founding Fathers' comments about having natural rights or being endowed by rights from our Creator, we would be happy to discuss those things with you. We have, however, a news story that came up a few days ago. I wonder if any of you have been following this. The secret George W. Bush tapes have been revealed. A former evangelical advisor covertly recorded conversations. And he says in these particular tapes that the transcripts included in the Times report that this for these tapes, Bush appears clumsy about meeting with evangelical leaders back in 1998. This story, I believe, came from our research department. A guy named Joseph Farah wrote it from WorldNetDaily.com. Have anybody been following this story? This is sort of interesting. I'd like to get more details about it. As you said, there are some code words, said George W. Bush. There are some proper ways to say things and some improper ways. I'm going to say that I've accepted Christ into my life, and that's a true statement. That sounds like it's a bogus statement, frankly, and that he's just using it to garner votes. But actions speak louder than words, so although we might want to take his words on face value, what we really see is George W. Bush is using the right, especially the Christian right, to further his own political agenda. Bush said in this tape he wouldn't be corrupted by power because I have a great wife. Oh, boy, he's relying on his wife. Didn't you read the story of Adam and Eve? Not to justify Adam's sin, but guess what? Women are going to fail you just as much as anyone else. Anyway, he says he wouldn't be corrupted by power because he has a great wife and he reads the Bible daily. Well, that's better, much better. The Bible is pretty good about keeping your ego in check. Yes, very true, George W., if you really believe that. The problem is we see George W. Bush acting like an out-of-control liberal. He's spending more than any president has since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he's continuing to plod along a course of action that denies our rights, that reduces them, diminishes what we have hold sacred in the Bill of Rights, and continues to spread tyranny around the world. What else can we say about George W. but that he has not been the friend of the Christian or of the Christian church? We've come up against a quick break here on the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview today. So glad that you've joined us on Christian Worldview today, where we help you think better as a Christian. And all those who love liberty are welcome to listen to the show as well. Or even if you don't love liberty and are hopefully going to in the future, we're glad that you're listening in. This is the only talk show in the area. We're actually going to hear the true so-called hardcore right-wing perspective on things, on liberty, of the founding fathers and support of our rights as Americans and helping Christians think better. Not be gullible and just vote for any old George Bush that comes down the line and tells them he's born again or says a few right words to tickle your fancy, but instead someone who's really serious about his faith and practice and who really understands the world from God's perspective. He's not a Darwinian. He's not not holding to a wacky environmentalist doctrine. He's not holding to the Mother Gaia, or however you pronounce that, the Mother Earth doctrine, and has not been indoctrinated entirely by the pagan seminary. That's what the Bruce Short calls the public school, by the way, or the government school. Those kinds of people are the ones that that should be applauded, that hold on to a biblical worldview and a view that upholds liberty in our lives. Well, since we were reading about George W. Bush earlier, my research staff also passed on something very interesting the other day about George Bush and Social Security and his relationship to FDR. Just a couple of highlights from there. I thought that was interesting to read. Democratic leaders say that FDR would be aghast and shocked, if not horrified, at what Mr. Bush has proposed. But someone looked up what FDR actually said about the future financing needs of Social Security. They discovered that the New Deal president predicted reforms that sound very much like Mr. Bush's plan. In his address to a joint session of Congress on January 17, 1935, here is what FDR had to say. For perhaps 30 years to come, funds will have to be provided by the states and the federal government to meet these pensions. After that, Social Security's financing door should be fully open to the voluntary contributory annuities by which individuals' initiative can increase the annual amounts received in old age. This is what FDR seemed to be proposing, knowing full well that the government, that is, taxpayers, could not continue to pay for the entire program in perpetuity. FDR is on Bush's side in this fight. Isn't that interesting that old FDR, one of the greatest perpetrators of evil in the United States of America's history, was actually realizing the Ponzi scheme would come to an end at some point. What neither of them realize is that this pension does not need to exist, period. It is still a wrong-headed, foolish, proactive policy, and it needs to be abolished entirely. If you're collecting Social Security benefits and you're hearing my voice, you're probably upset by that because you've been counting on it on your whole life. But look, folks, if I'm going to be consistent as a tyranny response unit, I need to oppose tyranny in all forms, and any kind of extortion or welfare program like Social Security is needs to be abolished and avoided entirely. We also have a couple of other very interesting stories that came up here. And this one's from Indonesia. The President George Prescott Bush and Bill Clinton traveled to go to the tsunami area on the weekend. Just a couple of things that were brought to light in this particular article were that it says here, Indonesia is among the world's most corrupt countries, and local anti-corruption watchdogs are already alleging that officials have been siphoning off aid meant for ASA. Nothing turns private donors off more than if they saw waste or fraud or something like that, Bush said, but we don't anticipate that. We're very reassured by what the president said, and that it's essential that not only our observers and our NGOs and that the Indonesians go forward with us and with the other donor nations, be sure that it's delivered most effectively, less overhead, and certainly no corruption. Well, interestingly enough, we're finding that the Clintonites and the George Bush ones are trying to get involved. Their staff are trying to get involved here to oversee this process. Not real clear that they're really good at avoiding corruption, however, and government inefficiency, since neither of them did it very well under their own administrations. In fact, one could argue that they were some of the most corrupt administrations there have been. At any rate, moving on to other stories, we have Ron Strom just letting us know from World Let Daily that funds are being raised for these arrested homeschoolers in Simpsonville, South Carolina, when the cops nabbed the teen mom in the park after confrontation over a knife. The kid had a pocket knife. Cop wrestled him to the ground. It was an undercover plainclothes cop. And when the mom came over to rescue the boy, she was charged with trying to obstruct justice and so forth, something like that, some trumped-up charge trying to protect her kid. It was a homeschool event, and so she was hauled off to jail, too. Our hearts and prayers go out to her being terrorized by the Simpsonville police officer here in South Carolina. Making national news, though, obviously. It really is quite preposterous what they've done to this person. And these homeschoolers, harmless people sitting in a public park, all of a sudden get attacked by a cop. Well, any rate, in other news today, we have Roe versus Wade. The U.S. top court rejects the bid to reopen Roe v. Wade. February 22nd, Washington. The U.S. Appeals Court last year dismissed McCorvey's motion. She's the one that was the actual Jane Roe in Roe versus Wade, and ruled her case was moot. It said the Texas law declared unconstitutional in the 1973 ruling. A law that made abortion a crime has long been repealed. In 1992, the Supreme Court last addressed its 1973 ruling and reaffirmed the central holding that women have a fundamental constitutional right to choose an abortion. On the recent Supreme Court, only three members, Rehnquist, Scalia, and Clarence Thomas, have voted to overturn that ruling. So here the court is not going to hear the reopening of Roe versus Wade based on Jane Roe's plea. We also see that New World is causing a lot of disorder. The UN is to control the internet, apparently, in some people's minds. Leaders of the UN, according to WorldNet Daily, on the internet panel yesterday said the UN internet panel, said they hope to set up a global system where cyberspace would be under the control of the United Nations. The panel is considering such problems as cybercrime and email spam. It's ridiculous. Think, how can you control spam when anybody can set up a little shop somewhere and stick stuff on the internet? There's an issue that is out there that needs to be resolved. Chairman of the panel, Nitin Desai, said, and a special advisor to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan told Reuters, it calls to establish international rules which citizens can rely on, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. Here's another hope for some people to get world government in to our backyards. Sad but true. And then British Gum Summit proposes a tax on chewing gum. Officials of some Britain's largest city met for a summit on chewing gum Tuesday to fund cleaning the sticky sweet from streets. Give me a break. Anyway, you're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. There's no end to how exasperating government can be with its various rules and regulations and so forth. We are going to come up for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
We welcome you back into Christian Worldview. Just one more quick email before we get to our economics segment. That came in from the research staff, the fabulous volunteer research staff we have here at the Tyranny Response Network, especially for Christian Worldview. This is about the Dummer Academy name change, sparking outcry February 22nd. Newberry, Massachusetts, Governor Dummer Academy, the country's oldest independent boarding school, was founded before the Revolution. Jokes about its name have been around roughly as long. There's dumb and dumber and getting smarter at dumber, and this students who go in come out dumber. We all get over it, said student Keesley Johnson, 18. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a person's name. But in a move that has outraged some, the school's board of trustees recently decided that smart thing to do was to drop dumber from the name. It goes on to say, we come to realize that our name, particularly when heard for the first time, can stand in the way of gaining our deserved recognition. Well, I don't know. I think if all public schools were named dumber, it might actually convey something more of the truth. Appreciate that the research staff finds these little tidbits of information that are so useful. We tried to have some segments every week having to do with economics, because it is important for Christians and people who love liberty to know something about economics. Did you know that most foolish policies would be unraveled simply by having a basic course in economics, a basic understanding about markets work, scarcity, opportunity cost, comparative advantage, things like that, those issues. And that's one reason we're so homeschooler friendly, because homeschoolers can actually tune in to our show and be able to, the Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben show, and be able to understand a little bit more about economics and thus be able to understand more about public policy, what's right and wrong with it, and how they should participate and continue in their own understanding of life, how they should participate in politics, how they should participate and think in school and in class, and how they should deal with people that they meet socially when issues like this come up. One way we've been doing that is by reading questions from The Economic Way of Thinking by Paul Hayne, which is a mainstream textbook, and we have a number of just tremendous questions that can be found in the back of these books. When I teach economics at home school to my high school student, I use this text, and they go ahead and take the with this and another textbook, that will take the CLEP exam and get college credit for it. It's a good idea. I'd suggest that you all consider doing it if you want to learn something about economics. Well, in the end of chapter 4, there's a question 17, which I think is a very good question. It says, is it possible to provide health care without rationing? Answer is no. If you're talking about government policy, yes, if you're talking about the free market. In 1948, every household in Britain, for instance, received a leaflet stating that the new National Health Service would provide you with all medical and dental and nursing care. Everyone, rich and poor, woman or child, can use it or any part of it. There are no charges except for a few special items. Well, this is what the leaflet said in Britain in 1948. Can it work, folks? Can you have socialized medicine that works? The question that Hayne asked then, number one, is, or question A, this pioneering system of health care provision, which celebrated its 50th anniversary in 1998, was based on the assumption that the quantity of health care that would be demanded at zero price is finite. This assumption has been disproved in Britain and all countries that subsequently initiated similar systems and found themselves confronted by shortages of health care services. How would a shortage show itself in such situations? Well, what happens, folks, is when you have a zero price, the amount of people who would demand something at a zero price is not finite, at least not in any recognizable term. What would happen if the price of Mercedes tomorrow were zero, or BMWs, or diamond rings, how many of those things would stay on the shelves or on the dealer's lots? All you had to do is walk in and sign your name and drive off with one. Wouldn't you be down there immediately? What do you suppose would happen on the sidewalks? Would you imagine that you'd get lines forming? All of a sudden, people who didn't have a great use for a Mercedes and weren't willing to sacrifice scarce goods and were practicing economizing behavior by driving Toyotas or Daewoos or Hyundais or something else, all of a sudden they're there to get a Mercedes. Or those who didn't care much about wearing jewelry, all of a sudden don't have enough fingers to put rings on. Wouldn't we expect the same thing to happen as this great queuing and lining up for those goods would be for health care? This is exactly what does happen, folks, when you have something that has a demand curve that slopes downward to the right, as demand curves always do. We have people who will have a demand, and when the price gets low, the quantity demanded is going to be very high. They're going to take everything off the shelves, so to speak. And so it is with health care. We expect lines to form, and you expect to have privilege brokering going on, where someone has to decide who gets the Mercedes first, the diamond ring first, or the medical care first. And that will usually be a government official. And this is what we call rationing. There will be an artificial shortage. Shortages are always caused by government policy, by the way. There's never a shortage in the free market of Mercedes or diamond rings or of health care. There's a shortage only caused by government policies, which artificially distort the supply and demand equation. And what will happen is, in addition to the long lines, you'll have some bureaucrat who will be assigned the power to decide who gets the Mercedes or who gets the diamond ring or who gets the health care. And they'll use philosophers to make these judgments. They'll decide, well, maybe if a person is over age 55, his life's mostly done, therefore he doesn't need to get a kidney transplant. Gallbladder may hurt a little bit, but you don't have to bother getting that out, especially if you're over a certain age. Or you can just wait about 6 years for the next doctor to be ready for you. So this is what we'd expect. The answer to this question of Hain, we expect longer lines and queuing up. We expect corruption as peddlers of favors, favor brokers in the state decide who gets what care and when, and we expect rationing based on philosophy of some scientists on who deserves to get health care and who doesn't. Question B, or part B of his question, is simply this. If health care is made available to everyone at zero money price, and this price has at this price the quantity demanded exceeds the quantity supplied, how will health care be rational? We've already answered this question. The government will come in with a policy based on some philosophy and decide who gets health care and when. What system, he says in Part C, what system of rationing would you recommend? Well, since he's asking me, the Tyranny Response Unit, the only system of rationing that I'd recommend is one provided by the free market. Those who can pay for health care should be able to buy it. And if you want a gallbladder transplant and it's bothering you enough, go ahead and get the money and pay for it. Throw out the whole socialized system. It does not work. All you end up doing is getting a rush of for people of services, things they wouldn't normally be going out and buying, like Mercedes and diamond rings. Every little thing that goes wrong with them, they're going to want to be covered for. There's going to be a surplus run on all the medical care facilities, and it's going to use up all those resources. If you have in the free market people forced to pay something to get something done, dramatically affect who lines up to go out and get medical services done. No one has a right to health care, folks. This is a myth. The idea that you have a right after you're born and they get older, especially to go on the dole and have someone else pay for you to stay alive, is simply false. There is a time that God has indeed appointed for your death and departure, and that has to be recognized as a part of the normal, regular human existence. And until people have that Christian worldview, and that particular understanding at least, we're always going to tend to these sorts of distortions where we have governmental instituted positive rights to health care and longevity and so forth that causes so much grief today. We're going to continue this discussion in just a minute when we come back from the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben. That's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back into the final segment of Christian Worldview, where we are definitely hurling liberalism away with great force. I've recommended to you many times on this show to get a copy of The Freeman. As I understand, the student subscription rate, which means all of you homeschool parents who have a student in your home can get at this rate, is $10 per year to get this magazine sent to you. It's one of the best magazines you can find with great authors in it that uphold liberty, freedom, the ideals of the founders, and free markets, peace. And the January-February issue of The Freeman has just tremendous articles in it, especially with regard to things like socialized medicine. If you want to go and get a copy of this magazine sent to you, you can go to FEE, like fee, Foundation of Economic Education, fee.org, and you sign up there for $10 per year per student. I think you pay $39 if you're not a student. So like I said, it always makes sense to put it in your daughter or son's name if you're a homeschool father or mother, or if you have kids anywhere else for that matter, you can do that, help them understand and be disinfected, understand economics and be disinfected of and disabused of what notions they've heard in their television broadcast or the modern mainstream media elsewhere. At any rate, this particular issue has an article by Jane Orient, a physician, executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, called America Needs Socialized Medicine? It Just Ain't So. And another article on page 20 that says, How Government Destroys Medical Care. How Government Destroys Medical Care. And it's this whole story about the great debacle that's gone on in California recently, where you've had the number of emergency rooms in the Los Angeles area, which has, 14 million people, it's the second largest population center in the United States, went from 97 down to 79. We've actually had a vast decrease in emergency rooms. People just can't afford it because of the government regulation and because so many illegal immigrants and other people who don't have medical care can get free service at these hospitals. You know, hospitals in America can't turn people away. And for some people, this means, because there's a zero cost of using the emergency room, people are waiting for 15, 20 hours just to get seen, even when they have an emergency situation in California. This is a very sad state of affairs, and this is exactly what happens when medical care becomes free. Well, people say, well, medical care is not free in the United States. We don't have a socialized system. No, we don't have a socialized system completely, although it's getting there with the Medicare and Medicaid programs and so forth for the elderly and the impoverished. But the fact of the matter is if you're bleeding to death, you're in an emergency situation and dying, you can pull into any emergency room in the United States and get medical care, and they can't even ask you for your insurance card. One of these articles even points out that someone tried to present, a guy that was trying to go in and use the medical care, tried to present his medical card on admission in the emergency room, and they said, no, we can't say that, we can't see it, we can't touch it, because we're not allowed to know anything about your ability to pay for this service now that you're here. Folks, anyone who has a medical problem can get care, urgent care in the United States. They simply need to show up in an emergency room. This has caused an overuse of the emergency rooms, and hospitals, believe it or not, have to pay for their expenses as well as their employees, which are not cheap. Doctors and nurses' salaries are not low, and they can't stay in business when people are just using the services for free. So here in the United States, we can see an exact principle of what we learned in the Hain book just a minute ago, Paul Haney, and his economic way of thinking, that when the price goes to zero, you have the dilapidation, you have a queuing effect where people are lined up to get the services, and you end up having some system of rationing. And since there is no public policy in emergency rooms that decides who gets care specifically in every instance that people walk in or every particular day, what we end up happening is people just can't, they just don't continue to provide the service. They just shut down the operating room, or sorry, the emergency rooms. And this is exactly what we've seen in California. Absolute destruction of medical care as now emergency rooms are closing and many or more are going into Chapter 11. In fact, they're looking to have 10% to 20% reductions in the ability for people for medical care facilities in California. It's just very costly to overcome this barrier, and until people begin to rely on the free market once again and to actually allow people who don't have medical care to die, believe it or not, that's the only way you can do it. If you can't pay for it, and there's just no facilities there, no charity that's able to pay for it, then people are going to have to be allowed to die. Now, that may sound horrible to you, but listen, folks, we don't live in heaven. We live in a world where governed by sin and death, and people do die. And people do make stupid choices. They shoot each other, and they do take drugs. And we're not talking about the occasional accident here. That is something that all Americans have been voluntarily willing to help out with. It's been our history, our heritage, our legacy in America. But people who just abuse the system and are criminals or are careless and have lifestyle choices and whatnot that are dangerous and lead to disease and so forth. Folks, this is not going to be something we can cure by through government policy, forcing private enterprise to give people free medical care. And Jane Orient also says the same thing in her article and more, just talking about Canadian-style socialism just brings dilapidation and destruction to the healthcare system. Doctors aren't willing to work. They cap their salaries. Who in the world would want to invent all the great things we got? Socialized medicine would destroy the greatest medical system in the world. Oh, but it works in Sweden and Canada. Look how it doesn't work there, folks. They're rationing. There's lines. There are people who can't get the care that they want, and the only reason it survives to this day is because those people, especially the wealthy ones, can get on a plane and fly to New York or Seattle or Detroit or someplace in the United States and pay cash on the barrelhead and get the services they want. If America weren't here, those socialized nations would not be able to continue with their socialized medical care system. It's just a pipe dream. It's just like Russia didn't know how to set prices because there was no free market when the old Soviet Union. They had to get a Sears Roebuck catalog out and actually use it to set prices because only markets can provide the information on prices we need. Governments are not capable of doing that on their own. Well, and because they just don't have the information. Friedrich Hayek, Ludwig von Mises said this years ago. Great articles in the Freeman. We'd encourage you to get a copy of that. We're so happy that you've been able to join us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We've closed another show out for the day. We would covet your questions and comments overnight, and if you can, send them by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. We'd appreciate it. Please do continue to listen to the show and to support us. In any way you can, go to policyofliberty.net and find out how, and also encourage your friends and family members near and abroad to listen via the World Wide Web at the policyofliberty.net homepage. There's a link there to click live and listen to the show. Please spread the word, folks. We'll see you tomorrow morning. This is Dr. John Coben wishing you God's blessings.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.